Shalom. This is Billy Brim coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near to Branson, Missouri. And I have as my guest, who are you?
I'm your daughter, don't
you? Oh, that's right. Shelley Brim Oaks. And we always say that she's blessed. Fruit of your womb, Jesus said, is blessed. The Bible says is blessed. And we're talking this week about the scope, the value of a kind of praying in tongues that is so supernatural, praying in the Spirit that is so supernatural. And we're using for our scripture, if you'll read it, Shelley, Romans 8, 22, 23, and 26 and 27.
Okay, beginning with verse 22 of chapter 8 of Romans. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And then verse 25 says, 26. Or excuse me, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Now stop right there. You said as we were studying earlier in the week that in the Greek, that word infirmities is singular.
Yes.
It's infirmity.
Exactly.
And then we are told what the infirmity is, what the shortness is in us, the weakness.
Yes.
We know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Right.
I tell you, one of the reasons I wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and pray with other tongues, I read in a book. And there were not a whole lot of books out then, but it was a book by John and Elizabeth Sherrill. They speak with other tongues. Mm-hmm. And I read in there that you could pray about things that you didn't know how to pray. And there was a situation of a family that had lost a young 18-year-old child, and I didn't know how to pray for them. And I wanted to be able to pray for people and for things that I didn't know how to pray. It says here, the Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Mm-hmm.
You might know someone's going through a trial, but you don't know how to pray as you ought. You don't know every factor. You don't know their future. You don't know your own future. And so you can pray for the things you know that we know how to pray. You can pray God's will for healing, this and that, for yourself, for your needs to be met, the prayer of faith. But even in your own life, you don't know the future. You better do some praying like this before you get married, before you choose a life partner, before you move to another city. Mm-hmm. You need to do this kind of praying where you know not how to pray as you ought. But the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, he's not just an influence that comes on meetings, he's a person. The third person of the Godhead himself, says itself in the Romans, but it should have been translated himself. The Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he makes it, but he makes it through us. He doesn't do it apart from us. And it's in not in articulate speech. We went over that yesterday. But these groanings, you had seen a note in the Bullinger Bible that this word is only used twice in the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And where is this Greek word in the New Testament? Where is the other one used?
Okay, it's in Acts chapter 7.
It's in the sermon that Stephen preached as he was being stoned and he was giving Israel's history.
Mm-hmm. And it's verse 34. And it said that God heard the groanings and he was going to come and deliver them.
The Jews who were in Egypt. He heard their groanings.
Yes.
And that's the only other place this, and he did what?
He came to deliver.
He delivered them.
So this sound pulled on his heart.
Yes. And brought
deliverance.
Deliverance. And so here we say that these groanings which cannot be uttered, this is a part of this prayer that we're praying, that mm-hmm. God's helping us pray. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You don't know God's will for all the saints. How can you pray for all of them? How can you know? Only through these kinds of prayers. Now, Shelley, in our lifetime, we have Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks because God told me you need to help the prayers in the last days. And we established this place for two reasons. Number one, to pray in the will of God. Number two, to stop the enemy, the plans of Satan in prayer. And oh, before we made these broadcasts, we had a wonderful season of prayer with the Prayer Mountain Prayers. And so good. Now, one of the men who prophesied to me was Brother Halverson. And Brother Halverson prophesied, never forget, because he knew God had told me this, that your number one call is to help the prayers. Prayer in these last moments here, these last seconds of these last days, prayer according to the will of God. What does God want prayed in here? What are the mysteries of God, the divine secrets that he wants prayed in? I don't know them all, and neither do the prayers that we just finished praying with. But you can give yourself and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and he will help you pray. Now, Brother Halverson, Brother Philip Halverson, is one of these great mentors that we had. Shall he tell about that time, how he watched over you?
Well, my husband and I had rented a small U-Haul trailer because that was about all we could afford. And our two children, Kylie was four and her... No, she was five, and her little brother was not quite walking yet. He couldn't walk, and very large for his size. And I remember as we got into the cab of this.
How far were you traveling?
1,552 miles. I thought about it for 3 days, and the more I thought about it, the heavier the burden. And I remember you arrested my attention one day we were staying in your home, and you arrested my attention. You said, "Shelley, you get that heaviness off of you. There are pioneer women who've cut across this country pregnant in a wagon where there were potholes, covered wagons with potholes, and surely you can endure a U-Haul on our nation's highways." And I said, "You're right. Forgive me. I was feeling sorry for myself."
But you'd had to leave Tulsa because of an
shake it off.
Yeah, there was an economic disaster in Tulsa.
Right.
It was the oil crisis. Their business went under. You lost everything.
So you're
going to California.
We're going to California to work. My husband had a job offer there, and we were going.
And you got these two babies, and I know you didn't even have room for your feet.
I didn't. I had a box where my feet should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cody, the little baby, is on my lap the whole trip. Mm-hmm. This is before seatbelt laws. And Kylie was standing up between her daddy and I in the cab. Again, she was just 5 years old. And I remember thinking, I couldn't even make a trip to Tulsa, which was about a 20-minute trip, without Cody screaming. Much less 1,552 miles. What in the world are we going to do? So we get in the car and we head out. And we had already decided that we would make it in 3 days. Just take it easy. And on the third day, as we just crossed the border into California, my husband said two things. He said, first of all, I cannot hardly see the windshield to drive because Kylie had made all of these paper chains. She had brought little construction paper and glued these little chains. And so they were just everywhere. I remember he said, "It's like a forest in here, Shelley." And then the second thing he said was, "And my back hurts a little bit." He looked at me and he said, "You realize that's the first complaint in this cab? And this is the third day. We would be arriving at our destination just a couple of hours from that moment." He said, "Shelley, we've been in the supernatural, and we didn't even realize it." And we started praising the Lord. Well,
how had the baby behaved?
Perfectly. Like, just looking out the window, laughing, singing, you know, normal, but not crying. Not one ounce of, not one tear fell.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew we were in a very supernatural cab. This U-Haul was like heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was Friday. We pulled into the parking lot of a Skaggs Alpha Beta, where I made a phone call to Collinsville, Oklahoma, where you and Dad were. And I said, "We've arrived. It's 11:20 something in the morning." And that has significance, actually, because that Sunday we were in a church service with Brother Halverson as the guest speaker.
Now, that was the next day after you arrived?
This was Friday that I
arrived. Okay, and it was Sunday. Okay, you had to drive some distance to get there.
Yes, several hours, and we had not even completely unpacked all of our clothes. We didn't know anyone to help us unpack the trailer or the U-Haul, so it was a slow process. And I said, Bob, are you sure we're supposed to go to this Sunday service? It's hours away, and I don't even know where all my clothes are. And he said, yes, we have to go. Thank God he was led by the Holy Spirit, yes, and insisted, because little did we know that would be the last opportunity for us to see Brother Halverson, a man so close to our family that Kylie called him Pawpaw, and he just loved it. So here we are in this service, and God again was using Brother Halverson and his wife Fern so supernaturally in this kind of prayer. And after the service was over, he asked to have dinner with us, and so we did. And he said, what have you been doing with your life? And I said, Brother Halverson, the only thing I know to tell you is I've been in a U-Haul truck with my family.
I thought he asked you if you...
No.
Okay.
I'd been in a U-Haul truck with my family for 3 days, and it has been like heaven on earth. And he slapped his leg, laughed so hard. He kept laughing. No explanation at first except this release of joy. And I'm thinking, well, what was so funny, you know? And he finally regained his composure, and he said, Shelley, did you arrive at Friday morning at 11:20 or between 11:20 and 11:30 a.m. on Friday morning? I said, yes. And he laughed again. He said, honey, for 3 days, I have been in prayer hovering over a truck, a moving truck. And I didn't know who was in that truck. I just knew the Holy Spirit was having me pray for this family. And on Friday morning, the Holy Spirit said, that's it. All through. It's finished.
Hallelujah. Now, he did not know how to pray for you as he ought. Didn't even know it was you.
Nope.
But he was faithful to pray, and the Holy Spirit gave him utterance. Now, God told me in 1983, if these old-time prayers... He told me to bring out the longtime prayer warriors for a meeting in Los Angeles. He said if we did not get what they had, what they knew by experience, it would be lost for generations. This kind of prayer is better caught than taught. And we had a meeting, and we've got that meeting from 1983. And on that is Philip Halverson, Gertrude Wright, John G. Lake's daughter, and Rachel T. Fatiller, John G. Lake's son-in-law. And we're going to make available to you DVDs for only $50, or CDs of the entire meeting for only $30. So call us at 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, and ask for Secrets of Intercession. And this is Billy Brim and Shelley saying, Shalom, Shalom.
Shalom.